sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Father, I ask your anointing upon me as I bring your word this morning. Father, your word is already anointed. It's already blessed. But Father, I need your blessing and your anointing this morning as I deliver the message that you would have me speak. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Here it is, the last day that Jesus is physically present on planet Earth. And I'm speaking then in the sense that we can walk up, we can see him physically, we could touch him physically, we could have a face-to-face conversation type situation. He has told them, going along with the message we preached a couple of weeks ago, that they're to go tarry in Jerusalem. He's going to send the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. But just prior to him saying this, they'd ask him, Jesus, we got to know now, when are you going to restore the kingdom? When are you going to make Israel top dog again? Because even his disciples who had witnessed all of these things, they had witnessed the crucifixion. They had been there after the resurrection, and they'd had fellowship with him for these 40 days here that had taken place. They still want to know, when are you going to restore Israel to prominence? When are you going to run the Romans out? When are you going to make Israel the top dog in the land, you know? This is what they were still looking for in many ways. And of course, he told them here it's not for them to know. Says the Father has put it in his own power. And then, of course, he ascends into heaven. The thing God has been speaking to me about on this message, though, is just about three words. They were found in verse 11. And it says, this same Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people who have a lot of opinions as to what happened. We watched a program on, I believe it was on ABC about a week or so ago, about the resurrection. And did it really happen? And did it get faked? And, you know, is Jesus' body stolen and moved somewhere else? Some say, well, he really didn't die, that he only fainted. And that when they took him down off the cross, he revived and he left the country. And was abiding somewhere in India or some other place, you know. And there are a lot of people who have a lot of theories as to what happened, you know. There's one guy who thinks he went to France, you know. But the Bible tells us in the presence of witnesses, Jesus ascended into the heavens. He didn't run off somewhere. He didn't leave the country and his disciples holding the bag. But he ascended into the heavens, where he said he was going to send them another comforter. And then we find 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them, and that power was given unto them, and they went forth then as witnesses. A lot of things took place during this time that anybody in their right mind, as far as the Roman government was concerned and some other things going on, would not have testified to, because it meant if you stood up for this, you were possibly going to lose your life. I mean, if the Jews didn't find some way to kill you on the side, and I'm talking about the leaders here. Let's get that straight here. Those religious leaders who were so opposed to Jesus, if they didn't find a way to get rid of you, they were going to get the Romans on your back somehow. Yeah. And there were a lot of things that could have happened to you, just like it is in some third world countries today. If you're a Christian, you're taking your life in your hands when you get up and profess to be a Christian. I read every week of various churches and people in various parts of the world where somebody disappeared, or they've been thrown into prison, or they've been killed for the gospel's sake. It goes on still today, and it was very prevalent right then. And these people standing up for Jesus and saying he is the Messiah, he is raised from the dead, he's gone back into the heavens, were taking their life in their hands, so to speak. But these angels that appeared here said, hey, why are you just standing there looking up into the sky? And I imagine they kind of watched till he disappeared out of sight. You know, let's face it, I don't know how tall Jesus was. But I kind of guess, based on the people's height at that time, that he may have been a little bit shorter than me. You know? And so I suppose if I was, you know, 100 feet up in the air, 500 feet up in the air, you might not be able to see me too well, you know? And they're gazing up into the sky as long as they can see maybe a little pinpoint up there, and two angels appear and says, why stand you here just looking into the sky? This same Jesus is going to come back in like fashion. Now that's why the church thought he was going to come again right away, because they had been told he's going to come again in like fashion. Unfortunately for them, God's time frame is not the same as what we would like it to be. Anybody here ever get impatient? How many never get impatient? Some people raise their hands twice. I get impatient about some things. Mary's saying amen back there. I expected that. I get impatient about, and you know what, when we were getting ready, when God spoke to us to move back here, that was hard for me. I mean, the minute we felt it was God's will for us to do that, we put our house on the market, and we were expecting to move within 90 days, you know. Reese and Katrina and Reese's folks all moved back here, and we helped them move, but we're still sitting in California. A year later, we're still sitting in California, you know. And it was hard waiting. It was hard waiting. But I remember coming back to the little church that Reese's dad had started up in Grassland area. And a lady came up to me and she just said, God says, it's not time. And you know, when I took that, I wasn't impatient anymore. I was ready to wait. We went and helped out a church and did some things there, which we've all been told anyway was a blessing to them, and all this, and we did some things, and then God opened up the door, and all of a sudden it just took place, you know, faster than we expected it to then. So this was the attitude they were kind of waiting for Jesus to come back right then, and of course our forefathers were waiting for Jesus to come, and we're waiting for Jesus to come. But I believe he's coming soon. They believed he was coming soon. But you know what? I think we got the hand on him here, because I think he's going to come back in some of our lifetimes. You know? I'm pretty sure these kids are going to be alive when Jesus comes. Now, some of these people, you know, some of us here, you know, we might not make it. I don't know, you know. You know, but as far as to that time frame, you know. But Jesus is going to come. You know, and let's face it, I'm talking about myself here. I'm not picking on anyone in particular. I'm one of the old guys here, you know. But Jesus is going to come. That's the same Jesus who ascended into the sky 2,000 years ago is going to come back in like fashion. Now I realize if we look at the scripture here and we really put everything into perspective, the trumpet's going to sound and those who are alive and remain along with the dead in Christ are going to rise to meet him in the air. But then 7 years later, he's going to come back in those clouds and he's going to set foot upon the Mount of Olives, and that is when the kingdom is going to come back into power. His kingdom is going to be present here on this earth. This same Jesus. Peter. 10 days later, they're in the upper room. We talked about the fact that they were in one accord in one place. Brother Steve, in his lesson this morning, he mentioned the fact that about being one, that means that we're together. We're in unity. We're in one place there, and they came out, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were having a blessed time. I tell you, they came out of there, And of course, the first thing some old wet blanket says is, hey, these guys are drunk, you know. And he says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, they're not drunk. Mm-hmm. And he proceeds to preach a message to them. And when he gets finished, 3,000 people get saved. Right. But just before he concludes his message, in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, therefore let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God has made that same Jesus. Now, I've been told that sometimes when there's something in there more than once, you take it as important. And we have this same phrase being used within 10 days of the two times it was used here. And Peter says, that same Jesus that you crucified is both Lord and Christ. He's standing up and saying, that Jesus you hung on the cross, that Jesus that raised from the dead, that Jesus that ascended back into the heavens 10 days ago, he is Lord, he is Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the coming King. That same Jesus. I imagine there were some people out there on the street that weren't too happy with Peter at that time. They didn't want to hear anything about that same Jesus. Now, let's back up just a moment here. Jesus was not a name that was particular just to Jesus, the Messiah. There were other people named Jesus. Just like today in Spanish, it's Jesus. Spell Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, just like we spell it. So it was not an uncommon name. There have been other people who claimed to be the Messiah. This name was Jesus. But this was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And he lets them know. In Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 51, when you get there, say, I got it. Okay. Most of you got it? Okay. I don't got it yet. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, verse 52. This is Stephen now. Stephen, first deacon that we really hear anything about. Because remember, the Peter and the other disciples realized, hey, we can't do everything. You know, God has commissioned us, Jesus has commissioned us to go forth and spread the gospel. We can't take care of some of the day-to-day details of this if we're going out and ministering the gospel, doing what we have been called and commissioned to do. So it says they appointed some deacons who were going to take care of some of the day-to-day affairs. Now, then they were doing a lot of things, including ministering to the saints. They were ministering to the widows and the orphans and things of that nature. So there was a lot that was taking place. And they said, these deacons are going to be good men, and they're going to take our place in doing some of these things. And, you know, sometimes deacons are preachers too, you know. And Stephen, I guess, he was one of those deacons who also was a preacher a part of the time. And he gets called before the council. He said some things about that same Jesus that they had taken offense to earlier. And they've called him onto the carpet to kind of answer some questions. And he preached apparently a longer sermon than Peter did. because it takes an entire chapter just for his sermon, just about. And he really gets down to them on that. And then as he's concluding, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 52, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears." I mean, he's cutting it to the core there, man. "You bunch of uncircumcised hypocrites." It's really kind of what he was saying here. "Do you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did?" He's saying, hey, this is nothing new with just you. You're just following on the tradition of some of your fathers. They resisted the moving of God as well. They resisted the Holy Ghost as he tried to work in their lives. Now, some people think, well, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and that's where he first started out. But the Holy Ghost was present all throughout the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was present back in Genesis 1:1. The Holy Ghost was there. And he moved upon the prophets, and he moved upon the people. And you read as the Spirit moved upon them, that was the Holy Ghost moving in their life. And he says, your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost back then. And you read back in the Old Testament, and you read sometimes about some of the priests. And some of them, let's face it, weren't nice guys. In fact, some of them led the people astray, and they turned them away from God. Right. And he says, do you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did? Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Man, that's cutting it there. All these prophets that you guys rave so much about, your fathers persecuted some of them. Which ones didn't they persecute? Looks like we got a thing going there, you know. It's just kind of a thing that just continues on from generation to generation. Persecute the prophets type thing, you know. It's which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. You guys killed the Just One. Now, the high priest and the other people in the Sanhedrin, they didn't nail Jesus to the cross. We all know that. They were standing back in the crowd. I don't even know if they went out there to make sure it got done, because I'm sure they trusted the Romans to carry it out. But you know, when you're the instigator of a crime and somebody gets killed in the commission of that crime, whether you pull the trigger, stab them, or whatever happened to them, you become responsible for that crime, if there's a death in there. We were watching something on TV the other day, and about a robbery that took place, and these two guys went in and robbed a place, and the guy, the clerk, had a gun as well. Several shots was fired. In the process, he shot one of the robbers who made it outside the door and died. The other guy, when they caught up with, he was charged with first-degree murder because his accomplice had been shot and killed. Therefore, he was guilty of the death of that person. And these people, even though they did not physically drive the nails into Jesus' hand and feet, they didn't stick the spear in his side, they were the guilty parties. Because you see, the Romans wouldn't have done this on their own. They didn't care what Jesus was preaching. I mean, it didn't bother them one bit. They were in control, and they didn't care what Jesus had to say about this stuff. It was the people who rejected him and said, no, he can't be the Messiah. He's not coming the way that we think he should come. And God does not always do the things the way we think they should be done. You know, he doesn't come down and knock on our door and say, is it okay if I do this way? No, he does it however he wants to. And when we learn to accept the fact that God is sovereign, he does what he wants to, when he wants to, we get along a lot better. Amen. He's saying, this Just One whom ye have now been, are now the betrayers and murderers. You betrayed him, you murdered him. He goes on then in verse 51. I want to read verse 51 again in the Jewish New Testament, which says, stiff-necked with uncircumcised hearts and ears, You continually oppose the rock HaKodesh. You do the same things your fathers did. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who told in advance about the coming of the high priest, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You killed him. Just like you killed some of the prophets. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 56, it says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Anybody what knows what gnashing on them with their teeth is? Yeah. And some of it was biting, I imagine, too. But But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. This same Jesus, now the scripture doesn't put it that way, but he sees that same Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he says, and behold, I see the heavens opened. And this is his last words, by the way. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This same Jesus who just a few short days ago ascended into the heavens, the same Jesus who just a couple of months ago rose from the dead, the same Jesus that you persecuted, I now see him standing at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. But he being full, I'm going to read this again out of the Jewish New Testament, verse 55. But he being full of the rock, HaKodesh, looked up into the heaven and saw God's Shekinah. God's Shekinah. Now, it doesn't use that word in the King James. But what is Shekinah? Shekinah means divine presence, the manifest glory of God. But he looked into the heavens and he saw God's glory there. He saw the Shekinah presence. And he said, there's Jesus standing on the right hand, and praise God, I'm going to him now. Hallelujah. The divine presence of God. And this same Jesus that the angels talked about, this same Jesus that Peter testified of as he preached his first sermon, this same Jesus that Stephen saw standing at the Father's right hand, this same Jesus is the one that is the Savior of our souls. This same Jesus is the same one that's coming again. This same Jesus is our Messiah, our Redeemer. Hallelujah. And praise God, he's coming again, just like he said he would. This same Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much.
And this same Jesus that we were talking about in this message wants to be a part of your life today. Maybe you're listening today and you've never really allowed him into your life. You've never allowed him to speak to you in the sense that you listen and obey what he says to you. But this same Jesus is coming again. And this same Jesus wants to be able to take you to be home with him for all eternity. But before he can, you must accept him as your personal Savior. You must let him be Lord and Master of your life. You might say, well, how do I do this? It's so very simple. With all of your heart believing, just simply say, Jesus, I believe in you today. I believe you're coming again. And I believe you want me to be with you for eternity. I ask you now, Jesus, to come into my heart, into my life, into my very being, that I might be a part of this great, glorious future that you have planned. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior right now, in Jesus' name. And if you prayed a prayer even similar to that, he's come into your heart. You become a part of the family of God. And one of these days, that trumpet's going to sound, and this same Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to take you home to be with him. And also, maybe you're listening today, and there was some part of this message that was meant for you. This message today, I know, was for someone specific. This same Jesus still speaks to his children and to his people today. Father, I thank you again for all that you're doing. I ask, Father, as this message goes forth, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.